You don't have to die to discover life. The words of Dr. William Hablitzell. Dr. Hablitzell is an amazing man, author of a unique and insightful book, Dying Was the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me, a 2007 Independent Publisher Award medalist. He's been interviewed on numerous radio and television programs, including Fox Morning News and CNN, describing his fascinating work with patients whom he meets on that precarious brink on the edge of life. Larry Dossey, MD and author of The Extraordinary Power of Ordinary Things, said that if he were sick, he would want Bill Hablitzell to be his doctor. And Dr. Bernie Siegel said, "Whenever a book leads me to tears and joy, as this book has, I know it contains the essence of life." Dr. Hablitzell is no ordinary physician. He is a gifted healer of the spirit as well as the body, and he gives credit to his patients for being his teachers. Dr. Hablitzell was a firefighter paramedic who later completed a residency in internal medicine and then joined the faculty of the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine. Dr. Hablitzell also has a private practice where he had the great opportunity to meet the patients who transformed his life as a doctor. Dr. Hablitzell also helps operate a free medical clinic in rural Ohio. He tells how these breathtaking encounters changed the way he practiced medicine and attributes the lessons to the profound spiritual force behind the life-threatening diseases his patients brought to him. Dr. Hablitzell even has a cure for that empty feeling. Who better than a doctor with a spiritual emphasis on healing to give prescriptions for happiness? He wants you to get the lessons that sickness or facing death bring without actually having to go through the process yourself. The dying are often the wisest people you will ever meet. I did this interview before Dr. Hablitzell's stunning rise to success with this life transformational work. Now listen to the gift that Dr. Hablitzell has found in the most precious moments of life and beyond life. Here is Dr. William Hablitzell. You wrote a fascinating book. Can you tell me a little bit about your book and your background?
The book is titled, Dying Was the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me, Stories of Healing and Wisdom Along Life's Journey. The book is a series of stories that I've encountered through the practice of medicine. Physicians are entrusted in parts of our lives that we share every aspect of our lives with that we don't with other people. So it's a very unique perspective from which to know people. And I think we learn things about people and are exposed to lessons that we might never otherwise get a chance to see. We all encounter that, but we often don't see it, and physicians are no different. We are immersed in these wonderful stories, wonderful life lessons, and we're oblivious to them. So this was an effort to recognize the richness of those stories and be able to share them with others.
Tell me how the title came about.
The title came about from an encounter with a patient who experienced sudden death and was resuscitated. A week or two later, he was in the office, and the first words out of his mouth was, "Dying was the best thing that ever happened to me." And it was an experience that changed his life and enabled him to change the way he lived that life, to use uncertainty to his advantage, and knowing that there's no guarantee for tomorrow. Life occurs in the here and now, not worrying about what happened in the past, not worrying about what we're going to do tomorrow, but by using today.
That's a good lesson to learn.
It's a powerful lesson.
That must be an incredible experience to see things happen to your patients, and you're so involved with them. You are helping their life.
And when something turns in their life one way or the other, how does that affect you?
I'm not sure that how much what happens to patients is from their physicians. I think the healing comes from within. I think we're just a spectator. I think docs tend to take a lot of credit for what happens in the lives of their patients. I think the healing comes beyond us. And I think that's part of the miracle of healing. We're just spectators.
What is the best advice you could give someone to live a healthy life?
I think the most important message, I believe, is living in the present moment. We waste so much of our lives by being victims of our past. If only I had more money. If only I hadn't been fired from that job. If only my parents had sent me to college. We become victims of the past, and when you're a victim, you cede responsibility for your current situation to others. And if others are responsible for where you're at now, you'll never fix it. It's only until we can become responsible and accept, I'm here because of choices I made. They're probably bad choices, but I'm responsible and I'm going to fix it. And we can also use the other extreme. I'm going to travel when I retire. I'm going to start that business when I have more money. I'm going to do this when the cows come home. It never happens. So we're postponing living for some other time in the future. Or we postpone living because of what someone did to me in the past, and we forget now. And many people have observed, you see a lot of writing about the infinity of now. It's always now. It's going to be now in an hour. So if we can figure out how to apply that to our lives, this is where this happiness is right now.
You talked about life lessons. What are some of your life lessons that you personally have learned in addition to living in the now?
I think the power of service, giving your life to others, I think that's a very powerful, I think that's what drives happiness. I think the power of gratitude, I think that fuels, and I think that's the energy that fuels happiness. And I think it's that energy that surrounds us and finding a higher energy. Again, another important concept that we hear over and over in spiritual literature is about energy. And I think we are only now beginning to understand. I think our science is finally evolving enough now when we're talking about quantum physics that probably only very few of our scientists really understand. And in many ways, we look at science as an enemy of spirituality, but really, I think it's... We just haven't evolved enough to understand it. But the energy, we are what we surround ourselves with. And a good example is there's so much fear and anxiety in our lives. And it's everywhere. We pick up the newspaper and we read about all these horrible things happening. The crime in the streets, the graft in politics, events abroad. And it makes you feel bad. And we have a choice. We have a choice not to read that. Well, we have a choice to turn off the news. And that's some choices I've made this last political season. I've always followed the news. I've always had the news channels on. And this past political season, I made the decision I wasn't going to do that. I didn't follow all the hype.
You didn't buy into it.
And it was a more peaceful existence. And we had that choice.
How does spirituality play into your work? Because it's a very big factor in your life and in your writing now.
I think it's becoming more important, and I think that's part of the grasping the lessons that's around us. That those lessons have always been there, but I haven't always been able to see them and to appreciate them. And then once you're able to see them and once you're able to know that they're there, the next step is how to apply them. And so I think that's been a big part in my work, is not so much what I've been able to do for others, but what others have been able to do to me, or do for me, and be able to put those lessons to work. The lessons are a recurring theme. You see them in various, the lessons are just dressed up in different textbooks, different colors, and presented in different ways. And truly, the ancient proverb, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, is very true.
We have a choice. We can choose fear or not. If we choose fear, then we're surrounded by fear. If we choose something else, doesn't quantum physics say that that becomes our reality?
Yes, I think so. And I don't think it's so much that if we choose fear, that's what we're surrounded with. We actually invite it into our lives, and we attract it. What's hard for us to understand is that what we think about helps create our reality. And much of what we think about is done on a subconscious level. We don't realize that we're thinking all of this low-energy thoughts, anxiety, but it's there. And one of the biggest steps we can make in how we learn about ourselves is to really appreciate what we're thinking about. Not so much on the conscious, but on the subconscious level. When you feel yourself anxious, you're sitting in traffic, and you realize you're angry. You're angry because you're late. You're angry at the person ahead of you because they didn't go through the light, so you missed your turn. If you start appreciating how you're feeling, we're bringing more of that into our lives. And I think that's a big part of health, that what we think about happens. And if we are stuck in these low levels of energy, we're inviting that into our lives, and I think that influences our health.
What do you do when you see someone who comes into your office and they have a great deal of anxiety or fear? Is there something you do? I mean, you can put something out there, but they have to accept it.
Indeed, they have to accept it. And I think that's part of the relationship that you have to make with people. Much of what I see are people that are happy in their unhappiness. They want to feel bad. It is their right to feel bad. And they often want an answer for why they feel bad. They want a diagnosis. And often the diagnosis is their choices. And sometimes that's not popular. And over time, as you get to know people and you build that relationship, sometimes you're able to steer them in the right direction. Many people will see many doctors. They have a problem that doctors cannot figure out the reason for. Why am I so tired? There must be something horribly wrong. I feel tired all the time. Tests are done. Laboratory results are done. CAT scans are done. And everything comes back normal. We're often angry because the test results are normal. Because I feel bad, and there must be a reason. Something is to blame for why I feel bad. So if that doctor can't give me the answers, I'll go to a different doctor. The same questions are asked. The same tests are done. The same answers. We don't have a reason for why you feel bad. So you must have done something wrong. I'll go to a different doctor. At some point, we're ready to hear. We're ready to learn something. We're seeking answers, but we're really not ready to embrace the answers. And often docs aren't able to consider that medicine's often very black and white. We like to have a nice, internists like to have a nice diagnosis. And we often do a lot of testing. We spend a lot of money when maybe sitting for a half hour and listening would have been much more powerful and more healing.
That's a great answer. Do you have a favorite story from your book? I'm sure you love them all, but is there something that stands out right now at this moment?
I think from the title story, I think is one that has touched me greatly because I think it sort of sums up how life can change in an instant. And how we live our lives and may not realize we're living our lives. We're postponing life. We're not appreciating the present moment. That story helps, I think, reinforce the power we have for choice, the power of the present moment, the importance of energy into our lives. So that's, I think, a favorite story of mine.
I think it would be great on the title as well. I've got one last question. It's not really related to your book per se, but I'm looking for heroes in life, and I think we all have the potential to be a hero, and that's one of the things that I write about. Who are your heroes, and why?
I think I find heroes all over. I think heroes are, I've encountered many heroes and patients that have made a choice to embrace life and to influence others. You can spot happy people because they look happy, they smile. And that usually tells you something, and there's usually messages behind that. So I find a lot of people that come in and have a very powerful attitude. Many of them I've written about, but you feel better being around them. We've all encountered people that at parties, there's people clustered around them. You just feel good being around them. The people that have figured that out and can make others feel better just being around them, they're very, very much heroes. many of us have encountered a gentleman by the name of John Hirachuran. He's definitely one of my heroes because he has put life to a lot of spiritual concepts that I have found important in my life that I may not have embraced or maybe not have embraced as quickly in my life had it not been for John. He's taken principles and he's applied them to life and he's shared them with others.
That's heroic.
That is heroic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To find out more about Dr. Hablitzell, his website is www.dyingwasthebestthing.com.
This has been a White Wing Entertainment production. For information on other life-changing books, CDs, and seminars, please log on to our website at www.spiritualarena.com.